Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whatever time it is and wherever you are, it is a good time to put yourself in the path of the gospel. I'm Pastor Jim Lindis of Trinity Lutheran Church, and I thank you for tuning in this morning. Now, we know we have worshipers in Clinton and Langley, in Coopville and Greenbank, in Mukilteo and in Gig Harbor. But we are also joined this morning by friends on the East Coast, the Midwest, Mexico, and California. And confidentially, we even have someone joining us this morning from the White House. Yes, the White House off 3rd Street in Langley. You've seen it there. Oh yes, it's good that we are here together. And Jesus promised us that when we gather together, He is with us. My prayer is that we will open our hearts and our minds to the Spirit of God, that our worship will give us hope, comfort us in these times of trial, and inspire us every day to follow Jesus. Now, our opening hymn reminds us that even though it is getting darker and darker each day, because of our hope in Jesus and our calling to follow Jesus, we can still live into the light. The table is set. Let us go forth now for worship.
A light is gleaming, spreading its arms throughout the night, living in the light. Come share its gladness. God's radiant love is burning bright, living in the light. When light comes pouring into the darkest place, it hurts our eyes to see the glow. Sometimes a word of hope reminds us of our fears, our memories and tears. A light is gleaming, spreading its arms throughout the night, living in the light. Come share its gladness. God's radiant love is burning bright, living in the light. When night is round us and every shadow grows, a star is there to light our way. Tells a story of Jesus who came near to say, God's light will ever stay. A light is gleaming, spreading its arms throughout the night, living in the light. Come share its gladness. God's radiant love is burning bright, living in the light. And Jesus showed us a brighter path to walk. He showed us things we hadn't seen. Now we, like Jesus, can help creation shine, and this will be our sign. Our light is gleaming. living in the light. Come share its gladness. God's radiant love is burning bright, living in the light. So let us live in the brightness God has given, and let us rise to see the dawn. We trust that God is here, a sparkle and a blaze, warming all our days. Our light is gleaming, spreading its arms throughout the night, living in the light. Come share its gladness. God's radiant love is burning bright, living in the light.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Be with us, Lord Jesus. Hear our ardent prayers, prayers of joy and sorrow, prayers of faith and doubt, celebratory singing and the silent pleas of those who are afraid. Strengthen us, comfort us, and inspire us to make a difference in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we have one of the many confrontations between Jesus and the religious people. Let's listen in as Dale Tovey, a TLC woodcutter and former church council president, reads this text for us. Dale and Judy live in one of the most Lutheran neighborhoods on the island. We're going to go over to you, Dale.
After that, Pharisees and religion scholars came to Jesus all the way from Jerusalem, criticizing, "Why do your disciples play fast and loose with the rules?" But Jesus put it right back on them. "Why do you use your rules to play fast and loose with God's commands?" God clearly says, respect your mother and your father, and anyone denouncing father or mother should be killed. But you weasel around that by saying, whoever wants to can say to father and mother, what I owed to you, I've given to God. That can hardly be called respecting a parent. You cancel God's command by your rules. Frauds. Isaiah's prophecy of you hit the bullseye. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Dale. Greet all of your Sound View neighbors for us and give our love to Judy. Carl Olson is going to sing for us this time, share a piece of special music, a thought-provoking bridge from that gospel reading you just heard to today's sermon.
Your message is clear, you sound so sincere, your intentions are good. Forgiveness of sin, life without end, I'd believe it if I could. But I've watched from afar and I've seen how you are with the people you're around. And I don't see a trace of the love and the grace you talk so much about. If you want to lead me to Jesus, you better find a better way. 'Cause your life is speaking so loud, I can't even hear a word you say. If winning the duel is your golden rule, no matter the cost, well, you may win the day, but the price you pay is the greater war that's lost. You would not believe how different it seems from the outside looking in. But the louder you shout, the more I tune out, and the less I am convinced. If you want to lead me to Jesus, you'd better find a better way. 'Cause your life is speaking so loud, I can't even hear a word you say. I want to believe, but I'm going to need you to work with me here, work with me here, work with me here. If you want to lead me to Jesus, you better find a better way. 'Cause your life is speaking so loud, I can't even hear a word. If you want to lead me to Jesus, better find a better way. 'Cause your life is speaking so loud, I can't even hear a word you say. Hear a word you say. Hear a word you say.
Thank you, Carl. First things first. Remember what you came for. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the prize. First things first. The first commandment given by God in the Ten Commandments is not first by accident. It informs every other commandment. It informs everything that follows. It is first, not by accident. No, it is first by design. First things first. You shall have no other gods. And when Jesus was asked which of the commandments was the greatest, he began with number one, first things first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. First things first. Our entire lives should be informed by the first and the greatest commandment. Now, in our text today, Jesus is in trouble. He has offended the religious order. His parables were offensive. His teachings about grace were a threat to those who prided themselves on earning their own salvation. Now, Jesus was by any measure a great rabbi, a great teacher, and he could have been highly respected, but he could not be controlled. He would not conform. And he spent time with the wrong people. You know, sinners. But we are all sinners, are we not? That may be true, but Jesus kept company with known, notorious sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, and unclean foreigners. Yes, Jesus was in trouble. He had to be stopped. And indeed, as we enter the text today, Jesus was in the final days of his life. The cross was being constructed as he entered the most holy place in the Jewish world, the temple in Jerusalem. Now the Pharisees and the Herodians confronted Jesus there, hoping, we are told, to entrap him, hoping that he might slip up and further offend the religious people, or better yet, hoping that he might offend those in political power. You see, if the politicians were convinced that Jesus was a subversive revolutionary, a real threat to peace, a danger to their way of life, if Jesus threatened their position and their power, then the politicians would do what they do best. They would silence him. No big deal, really. It's better to have one innocent man die than allow themselves to be inconvenienced or to suffer. The Pharisees and the Herodians confronted Jesus. Now, the Pharisees were a Jewish religious sect. They were keepers of the oral tradition of Judaism. They were scholars. They were lawyers. They sought to bring the Jewish religious practice out of the temple and into the everyday life of the people. They wanted the commandments of God to order all of society. The Pharisees, what kind of people were they? Well, if you were building a home in the suburbs, for instance, in the suburbs of Jerusalem, and the Pharisees were your neighbors, that would be very good news to you. You see, they loved their families, and they practiced their faith, and they did not have loud parties or play loud rock music early in the morning. Now, the Herodians, too, were a sect of Judaism, but the Herodians were more interested in politics. They were loyal to God, but they were also loyal to Herod. Thus, they were called Herodians. That meant that they supported the reign of King Herod Antipas. It also meant that they supported the occupying Roman armies who propped him up. They came to the temple together to trap Jesus. They both saw Jesus as a threat to their way of life. But the Pharisees and the Herodians did not get along. They did not like each other, not even one bit. It would be like Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer uniting to work together and have lunch. What does it take for two hated foes to work together? A common enemy, a shared threat, the threat they believed to be Jesus. And so they approach Jesus and they begin by flattering him as if they admired him. Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You are a great rabbi and you show no deference to anyone. Tell us what you think. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to the emperor or not? It was a trap. If Jesus said, pay taxes to the emperor, then he would offend the people who were opposed to unfair taxation. But if he said, don't pay, well, then the government would see him as a threat. After all, it was taxes that kept them in power. It was taxes that protected their privilege. Now, the text tells us that Jesus was aware of their malice. He understood the complexities of their question, and he called them out. He said, why are you putting me to the test? You are hypocrites. But I will answer your question. Show me the coin. Show me the coin used for the tax. And with that, they reached into their pockets and they pulled out coins. Yeah, they had coins in their pocket. Of course they did. Money makes the world go round. They all had coins. Each one of them used the currency of the empire. They all benefited from the corrupt and oppressive systems that kept them in positions of privilege. Show me the coin, Jesus said. Whose image is on the coin? Whose title is there? They looked at the coin and answered, the emperor's. And Jesus said, that's right. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that belong to God. And with that, the strange bedfellows walked away, murmuring. It is likely that they never talked to each other again. Now, I'd like to draw out 3 points from this encounter. The first is that Jesus, in a very real sense, took the religious scholars directly back to the first commandment. First things first. How is that, you ask? It's quite simple. Jesus said that we should return to God the things that belong to God. You shall have no other gods. What do you have in your life? What is it that you have accumulated and collected in your life? And what have you accomplished? I might ask you, how much of that really belongs to you? How did you come to accumulate so much? And let me ask you one more question. When you leave this earth, how much of that stuff do you plan on taking with you? There's an old saying, there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. Of course, we know that nothing will come with us. Everything we have is simply on loan to us. That would include our homes, which will go to someone else, our cars, who will find another owner, and most of our stuff, and even our bodies will be recycled. What will your titles and your advanced degrees mean when you meet your Maker? First things first, give God the things that belong to God. And if you do so, guess what? There'll be nothing left. There'll be nothing left to be given anywhere else. Blessed to be a blessing. All that we have and all that we are is entrusted to us by God to be used for the common good of all people. Point 2, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the downfall of religious people and political leaders. The great failure of religious people and religious organizations and movements is found in their hypocrisy. Might I say, our hypocrisy. We see hypocrisy in all of its ugliness in this election cycle. Political parties and politicians condemned abuses by their rivals and are blind to their own abuses. Both parties use whatever means are available to them to gain election or re-election, to grab an advantage, or to maintain power. Religious leaders. Religious leaders historically have not fared much better than politicians. Religious leaders are easily seduced, by power and the privilege that it offers to them. This was true in Jesus' day. It was true also during the Crusades. It was true in the 1940s. And we see it today as religious leaders cozy up to candidates that do not share their values. Hypocrisy is the enemy of the church. It destroys our witness and it drives truth seekers and people of faith away from the church. The church of Jesus claims that everybody's welcome, and then it does its best to persecute known sinners, notorious sinners. We have done so to those whose lives have been devastated by divorce. We've also done the same thing to the gay and lesbian community. In our misguided attempt to protect Jesus, in a self-righteous attempt to keep the church pure, we have ignored our own sins while striking out at those who we regard as unworthy of God's grace. Hypocrisy. We are pro-life, but we care not about the widow or the orphan. We rail against a border wall from the comfort of our gated communities. We call ourselves environmentalists, railing against human greed. We demand change as we sit in our 3,000 square foot homes, our garages with three cars parked there ready to deliver us to the airport for our next airplane flight across the world. Hypocrisy. It's just below the surface in all of us, and it is the enemy of truth, and it is destructive to the church, and it is destructive to society. Now, before you write me all of those emails that you're thinking of writing now, know that I include myself in this unholy gathering of hypocrites, and I don't like it one bit. Enough to change? We'll see. In some ways, perhaps. In other ways, maybe not. Hypocrisy is always just below the surface. And the final lesson from this temple encounter with strange bedfellows, there should be a separation of church and state. The marriage of church and state should never happen. The two entities can perhaps coexist, but by definition, they have different goals and priorities. The state exists to protect its citizens and the global interest of its citizens. The state seeks to secure its borders and to maintain a standing army for protection or conquest. Security and prosperity, those are the interests of the state, and there's nothing wrong with them. The state should not promote Christianity or Islam or Judaism. Church and state should remain separate. The church exists to promote the teachings of Jesus, the love of God and the love of neighbor, first things first. The church should not seek power or bow down to the powers of this world. The church exists to help the poor and the hungry. We exist to comfort the afflicted and to inspire the comfortable to share what they have. The church of Jesus should not be armed or militant or overly concerned with security. Give to the emperor the things that belong to the emperor, but give to God the things that belong to God. Make every effort, my friends, to drive hypocrisy from our lives, to reject every form of self-righteousness, and to embrace every bum and beggar and Trump supporter and Biden backer and PhD who drags themselves in our door. Jesus invites all to the church. May we never be an exclusive gathering of achievers or a country club that screens its membership. Okay, let's end where we began, by remembering first things first.
You shall have no other gods, not money, not love of country, not love of political party, not security or independence. Jesus should not be removed or excluded from any conversation, any ethical decision, or any life calling. Jesus should inform our behavior on Sunday morning, but also on Saturday night. Jesus should inform our marriages, our relationships with our neighbors and with our enemies. Jesus should inform our voting, our protest, and our advocacy. You see, no area of our life should be safe from Jesus. We should welcome him and look to him as he teaches us, saying, "Judge not, lest you be judged. Turn the other cheek. Pray for those who persecute you. Resist evil. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Welcome home prodigal children. Feed the hungry. Heal the sick. Be humble always. Check your ego at the door and wash some feet." In our story today, they came to trap Jesus and they were caught in their own web. Good people, good neighbors, good people trying to protect their positions. In other words, they were hypocrites like me. May God help us. Carl is going to sing for us at this time. Carl? Lift our hearts to God in prayer at this time. Each petition will end, "God of love," and our response, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray.
With confidence in God's blessings of grace, justice, and mercy, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Creating God, we give thanks for the beauty all around us, the sun and rain, the colors of harvest, the skies and the deep brown earth. Let us be creative in sharing your abundance, that all might have enough and might rejoice in your creation. God of love, hear our prayer.
Just and merciful God, no matter what coin we render to political power, our greatest currency is ourselves, made in your image. God, guide our actions, voices, and words in the houses of government in this nation, in this world, and on the local streets and roads of our lives, to always reflect your graciousness and mercy. God of love, hear our prayer.
Restoring God, bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, that we may live deeply in our hearts. May your Spirit guide us in our work and guide the work of justices, magistrates, court officials, and all vocations of the law, that your promise of restoration may be known. God of love, hear our prayer.
Comforting God, give us wisdom to heal relationships and build bridges that we might know the joy of true community, the hope found in common labor, and the promise of your abundant life together. And bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer, those who are ill, and those who are grieving at this time. Give us hands and hearts to reach out to them and change their pain to joy. God of love, hear our prayer.
Guiding God, give us the foolishness to think that we can make a difference in our world, so that we will do the things which others say cannot be done. God of love, hear our prayer. Trusting in your mercy and grace, we bring these prayers to you, O God, in Jesus' name, amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a greeting of peace and reach out to someone who would like to hear your voice on this Sabbath day.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
A few announcements today. Last Sunday, we rejoiced with Connor Campbell, Ian Maher, and Cole Thorson as they affirmed their baptisms, a confirmation service here at Trinity Lutheran Church. More of those affirmations of baptism are coming in the coming weeks. Thanks for the altar flowers today, coming from Lana and Mike Johnson, giving thanks to God for their family and the blessings of this place. The Adult Forum continues each and every Sunday morning at 9:30. This week and next week, you can join Pastor Dennis on Zoom as he is teaching about the Lutheran faith and the Small Catechism. Our 7th and 8th grade confirmation students will be meeting today at noon by Zoom. And happy birthday today to our reader, Dale Tuvey, and to Wendell Demaray, who joins us each Sunday morning from his home in Edmonds. Now, if you've not had time to prepare your home altar for Holy Communion, you can pause the video now and do that. Bread and wine, crackers and juice. God reminds us with common elements that we are loved, we are forgiven, and we are never alone. We move now to the celebration of Holy Communion.
We gather now around a table that welcomed our parents and grandparents, a table that will welcome Christians of all denominations and colors this day. We are reminded that this is a sinner's meal. Those who were about to betray Jesus were the first to eat this meal. It is no wonder then that Jesus reminds us in this meal that our sins are forgiven and our place at the table is always waiting. Communion elements, bread and wine and water, the elements of everyday life. This is how God reminds us of God's love for us. In an upper room in Jerusalem, on the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and gave thanks. He gave it for all to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Jesus has promised to be present with us. We need the presence of Jesus now in our lives, perhaps more than ever. Let us pray as Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gather now at your home altar, pandemically safe, as we gather together, though we are apart, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you now and always in God's grace. Amen. Now as you depart, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we end the service by sending you out to share your light with all the world, this little light of mine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Now until next time, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How many ways can I be grateful? How many ways? Given the chance, I'm gonna tell you now. How many ways can I give thanks for the blessings I have known? I've got a list, and I will tell you how. Grateful for each breath awake, grateful for each step I take, grateful that I'm here to play my part. Grateful for the morning sun, grateful when the day is done, grateful that I have you in my heart. Grateful for this universe, for the better and the worse. Grateful that this world keeps spinning round. Grateful for my memories, grateful for my hopes and dreams, grateful for the blessings I have found. Give praises for all the gifts I have. Given the chance, I'm gonna shout out loud. Grateful for each breath awake, grateful for each step I take, grateful that I'm here to play my part.
grateful for the morning sun, grateful when the day is done, grateful that I have you in my heart.